Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's a common misconception that therapists have their shit together and all our relationships are perfect.
Which is total bullshit.
I'm Vanessa Bennett, licensed therapist.
I'm John Kim, licensed therapist.
And this is our story.
So I whispered in your ear, I'm going to go buy you ice cream and then make love to you. I think I used the words, I don't think I used the words make love. I think
no,
I used
different
words.
No, you said get behind.
And then you said, if you buy me ice cream, you're not getting behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about this? and then I said, okay, you need to go to romance school.
No. That was not. The reaction was actually a pullback in disgust and a very exaggerated, I can't believe you would say that. What yes. A boner killer.
Yes. Let's dissect this. Okay. So for me, going to get ice cream is going to require about 30 minutes because we live up in the hill. So it's 15-minute drive to get ice cream, 15 minutes to come back up the hill. Also, you mentioned you wanted dessert. I knew that acts of service is your love language. So I thought, okay, if I get you ice cream, and then I whispered to be flirtatious, we're going to have sex. Right. And then the way that you interpret it was, because you're more left brain, you said, okay, well, ice cream is dairy. Dairy is going to fuck up my stomach and you can't get behind me because I'm going to have diarrhea.
That is not what I said.
That's not what you said, but that's what happened in your brain.
Remember the last time we got that specific ice cream, my stomach was messed up for like 2 days to the point where I thought I had food poisoning, and you knew this. And so when you said, oh, I'm going to go get this specific ice cream, which you knew, it shouldn't have been surprising that I was like, that's not going to lead to sexy time.
Yes. But here's what you could have said. You could have went with it. You could have said, well, not only are you going to get behind me, but you're going to do this, you're going to do that, we're going to do this, right? And you know, in the back of your head, it's probably not going to happen, but you just kind of say it, we're flirtatious, you go with me. And then when I get to the ice cream store, you text me and you say, hey, I can't have that ice cream because it's going to fuck up my stomach. Maybe you can buy me a cookie or you do whatever.
No, that's not the way my brain works.
And this is the whole point. So and I'm not mad about it today, right? Obviously we're talking about it, but this is the whole point, meaning the disconnect, you know. And I think it's not just us, it's a lot of people where you go in with expectation, you realize that we're different, we see things in different ways. People get disappointed or hurt. Then you have, you know, someone demanding you to go to romance school, and you know, then it turns into a conflict.
Yeah, I think this example obviously is a funny example. And for me, sometimes flirting is actually more about being funny and humorous than the sex talk. But sure. I do think that you and I have had conversations before where we do miss each other on the romance or whatever that means to you or whatever that means to me. And I know that other people in relationships, I'm sure, do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my learnings, and to be honest with you, and I think I've said this in other episodes with you, is that this relationship is different in that way, meaning there is a lot of contrast. You know, we have different tastes in everything from music to humor to, you know, some style, I think clothing style. I mean, I think you have great taste. Creative stuff, different taste, right? Mm-hmm. And so before, when I first met you, I thought, oh, wait, we're too different, right? And you were there, so you remember.
I do remember. I mean, it was a struggle.
Yeah. And I thought, I'm not used to this. We also speak very different love languages, right? I'm words of affirmation. I need you to write me poems and flirt with me and tell me that if I'm going to buy you ice cream, you're going to do dirty things to me. Like, that's how I, you know, get excited. Hey, by the way, I was thinking, your mom could be listening to this.
Yeah, it's fine. I tell my mom most everything.
Your sister could be listening to this.
Yeah, my sister knows too.
Your brother could be listening to this.
He probably would turn this episode off.
You know what's amazing about me and my family is my mom has not discovered the internet yet. So I could be more free.
You could do anything you want.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. You have a family who are all participants of the internet. So anyway.
My grandfather's on Instagram.
Exactly. Exactly. So, different love languages. And so one of the learnings for me, with you, and now we're going on close to 3 years, mm-hmm. which went by pretty quick.
Well, we packed a lot of shit into 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, 3 years is a very important time. And this is a whole different conversation we'll get into, because I feel like 3 years is kind of that for most people. It's that, that kind of make or break, you know, 3 years is kind of the amount of time it takes to really get to know someone.
And yeah, I mean,
and do all that.
We've talked about this, about how there's a little bit of nerves on my end that you kind of have a track record of the 3 year mark being your decision where you kind of cut and run.
Oh, wow. You're just going straight in. So this podcast, may be only one episode because this may be the last one. Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, here we are. We're standing at the precipice of, like, John Kim talks about swimming past the breakers. Is he going to do it?
You know what turns me on? I love that you just touched me. I think that's hot. I think that's hot because, you know, I was thinking for this podcast, you know, you would want to be safe because you're generally more of a private person. I'm completely public, right? I've swam too far to turn back. And so for me, doing something like this is exciting. For you, it may be scary because we're pulling the curtain back on our, you know, relationship, life, raising a child, everything. And for you to say, oh, okay, let's talk about your 3 year swim past the breakers, do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, hey, if this helps somebody, I'm all for it.
Yes. For me, it's less about helping other people. For me, it's about, therapy. This is going to be my therapy.
I was gonna say, it's about yourself.
Yeah, of course. It's about myself and my ego. Honest, real quick, and I'm not joking around. If you're listening to this, this may only be one episode, or this may be 300 episodes. Vanessa and I just had an idea while we're grocery shopping, and I encouraged it because it kind of scared me, right? And anything that scares me and that is creative, I just have to do. It's like a little kid who, like, you know, has to know, he knows, like, ants are not meant to be eaten, but he just has to, can't help but putting it in his mouth just to taste it. And that's how I am with this kind of stuff.
Did you eat ants when you were a kid?
I ate ants, I ate everything, snails. I did things that I knew were bad and wrong because I was so curious. And so.
So it does not surprise me. That makes so much sense in the context of how I know you. I never ate any of that.
So this idea happened in the grocery store. And now here we are eating the ants.
I feel like you changed the subject or diverted pretty quickly around, away from this 3 year conversation.
I'm coming back. I put bookmarks everywhere, and you also know I birdwalk. It's not me running; it's me pulling a Tarantino. You know, my conversations don't have to be linear, and you should accept that about me.
So I'm here to pull you back. So
all right,
come back.
Bring it.
Come back. So
I'm here.
So how are you feeling now that we're closing in on 3 years?
You know what's because I'm kind of now I'm having anxiety and a little bit of panic because we've never had this conversation, and the first time we're having this conversation, we're doing it on the internet
and in different rooms.
Yeah. By the way, guys, when she's not in front of me, she's in a different room, which I think is helpful, isn't it?
Kind of.
Yeah, you know what? It's not cheating, because if you're in front of me and I'm like, you know, opening with ice cream and getting behind you, you could use your eye contact to say, let's not go there. Or you could, you know, use your body language, and we could, it's like we could pass secret notes to each other. And by you being in a different room, we can't do that.
No. And you can't see that I'm eating a Reese's peanut butter cup because I'm hungry. I told you to hurry up with this podcast.
Exactly. That's another thing that makes us different is Vanessa's love language is food.
Yeah, I don't work well when I'm hungry or function
Great.
In society.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about the 3 year deal. And guys, by the way, like anything I do, it's going to be lots of all over the place. I also hear chickens in the background. It's very raw. It's not definitely not going to be polished.
Stop avoiding the question.
No, because I hear things in the background. do you hear all these noises in the background?
I do. But I want you to stay on track for a minute here,
okay.
And I want you to tell us, going back, what about or do you think? I mean, because it feels like it means something that for you 3 years is the mark. I don't actually think 3 years is the mark for a lot of people. I think 2 years is the mark for a lot of people that I know. I know quite a lot of people who are serial monogamous, and 2 years is kind of their cap. I know a couple that are 5 year people.
Yeah.
So what do you think it is? What do you think there's
that whole 7 year itch. I think that doesn't apply anymore. So I think in the 50s, because there is that saying, the 7 year itch, right? For people, I think it's outdated. I think it's a lot less now, especially with how fast time's going, swipe culture, you know, everything, I think. And also just the rise of divorce.
Well, we live in a culture where there's always something better around the corner, and mm-hmm, we know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I think that 7 year itch has now become a 3 year itch.
Okay. So get into that. So why do you think it is for you that 3 years was the make or break?
I don't know. I think, so if I look at my relationships, I mean, you're right. I think so. Two of my relationships, I left both around 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I've only been in, okay, so there's one. I mean, I've only been in, you know, say four or five, and they've all been 3 years plus or around 3 years. And so that kind of spans all the way into my 20s. There was a long stretch that I was single. That was for about 5 years. And I champ being this whole thing single on purpose, but just no one liked me. I didn't have a choice but to be single during that time. But it was when I was going through my rebirth. But yeah, 3 years is generally the, I think a lot of stuff happens subconsciously. I think, I don't think it's one thing. I think there's a lot of things, you know. I think at 3 years, you, okay, let me break it down. The first six months is just dopamine exploration, you know, discovering bodies, and it's kind of fiery. It's exciting. You're getting to know someone, you know, the year goes by quick. So after a year, it should still be good. No one's, you know, throwing chairs yet. It's not the Telemundo episode yet. And then I think when you move in, like that's the next act break. You know, when you move in with someone, now you see the dirty socks on the floor, right? Now Vanessa sees how I put the dishes away. So mm-hmm. Like putting in four dishes and starting the dishwasher, right? I see how what makes her anxious. And I see, you know, she's super organized, and then, you know, and so there's also maybe compromising because living together is a constant thing. And, you know, even something like snoring or something like, you know, the way that someone folds laundry, like things can start bothering you, right? And so if you're not someone who tends to look inward, there could be a lot of reactions, right? So that could start to create drift, right? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, if you're starting to hold anger and resentment, that's going to cause drift. If you're starting to not be happy with whether it is, you know, flirting or sex or whatever, but you're not expressing it, these are crowbars that are going to slowly push people away. And then I think so that's year two. And then year three, and this is why year three is so important. I think year three is when you get to a point where you're like, okay, I now know a 360 of this person, and I'm willing to invest in this. Or year three, you're like, okay, I now know 360 of this person, and I don't think I want to invest in this, you know?
Yeah. I think there's two things that come up when you're talking about this. I think first is coming back to the original kind of half joking conversation about the ice cream comment. And you and I having different ideas of like what romance might look like or feel like. Mm-hmm. And we've had this conversation where I think for you, it has to do with, it's Cinderella at the ball, right? And for me, it's what happens after the marriage. So it's like, I look at romance as safety, comfort, closeness, being able to be together without even talking, like that kind of comfort and closeness where you can just sit next to each other, but you don't have to be eye to eye, is something very intimate to me. And for you, it tends to be much more
naked,
skin, bodies on bodies,
sure,
fieriness,
the notebook, you know, coming home and kicking the door open and ravishing each other. All that fantasy stuff.
So I wonder if for you is part of this 3-year itch, the natural progression, the natural ebb and flow of relationships is that
it goes toward you. Right. So, you're right. And now we're getting deeper because if you're listening to this, Vanessa is a therapist and so am I. So we're going to hopefully try to get deeper, or else we're just going to be talking about, you know, ice cream and sex.
And how you load the dishwasher.
And how I load the dishwasher. Right. Yeah. So the deeper thing we're talking about now is as the time goes by, my definition of love starts to fade because it's front loaded naturally. And then the Cinderella story fades, and then your definition of love kicks in. Mm-hmm. Hey, so does that mean that by year three, you're more into me than I am into you by that definition? I'm not saying that's true. I'm not saying that's true.
I don't know how to answer that question. I think that for me, I've had the hot sex. I've had the...
With who?
We won't name names.
You
know, I was single in New York in my 20s. Like, I've had the hot sex, I've had the one night stands, I've gone out, I've sowed my wild oats. The people that I've been in intimate relationships with that I've chosen, right, have been people that...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
That I can do those things with that I just listed before. So to me, going into something, while I still enjoy the hot sex, obviously, and every once in a while, you know, it pops up and that's wonderful. That to me is fleeting. And I know that. And so, but look, this actually goes into how you and I enjoy sweets.
Wait, by the way, we also define hot sex differently. No?
Right. Well, right. No, I don't know. Maybe. But this is how we even live our lives, right? Like how you look at sweets and how I look at sweets. Like I can take a bite of something right. and then put it to the side and come back later and eat one piece of pie over the course of like a week. And for you, it's very much like the pie's in front of me. I have to devour it right now.
Yes. I'm the kid that will not only eat my marshmallow, but eat the other kid's marshmallows.
Right. And I would right. wait patiently for the adult to come back in and then I'd get a right. whole bag of marshmallows.
Right. Hey, can I insert, speaking of sex, can I insert real quick? And this will give you a visual representation. When Vanessa and I are first dating, I'm not like really into kink and stuff, but I kind of sway that way. And I was like, hey, you know, can I slap you a little bit? And she said, if you slap me, I'm going to slap you back. And which kind of is exactly the same pattern and tone of the ice cream. And it's the same, it's different, but it's the same. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's not going to happen. I might have patted you in the face a little bit, but it's not the same.
You could have chosen to go down there. You just had to be prepared for the consequences.
I know, but then that doesn't, if someone slaps me back, it doesn't turn me on. Like then it's a fight.
Well, maybe that's your version of kink then. Maybe my version of kink is different.
Well, here's the other thing, guys. We are also we both have horns. So that's also a probably why, because I'm an Aries, right? That's a horn sign. And you are?
A Taurus.
Which is a horn sign. So it's like we can both be alphas.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which is, I mean, can be good. I mean, I think when you and I are creating, it works wonderfully.
Yeah, I think we're both passionate about things, which is great. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think it's interesting to circle back to, you know, the original point about the 3-year itch and just kind of the difference in romance. And I don't know, can you be aware, right? Like if I'm putting this out there, if I was taking what you and I are talking about right now and saying to somebody else, like, how could you learn from or look at what we're doing and apply it to yourself? Can you look at this person that you're with or persons, whatever you choose to be in relationship with, and appreciate the differences, dissect the differences in a way that doesn't feel judgy, that feels more like this is exciting that there's differences. Because I feel like for you in yes. the beginning, it was very judgy.
Right.
Because I will say, you said the first 6 months was fiery. I actually found the first 6 months of our relationship the most challenging out of all.
Yeah, because your definition of love and romance is security and safety, and right. and I didn't provide a space that felt safe for you because for what you got from me was ambivalence, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, and so this is one of my greatest love lessons in the time that I've been with you, and I've even posted about this, is that the contrast doesn't have to be bad. Like right. there's beauty in the contrast, you know, over the 3 years, because in the beginning I thought, because we have different senses of humor. I mean, sometimes we laugh at the same things, but generally speaking, like Vanessa will show me something and she'll get nothing from me, or I'll show her something and she may roll her eyes. So we're on a different page with humor. And I used to think in the beginning, like, oh, well, that's like one leg of a table gone. You know, that's one piston out of the engine that's not working. But what happens is, as you start to appreciate other things about the person and you put, you know, different weight on other things, like, you know, Vanessa has a lot of capacity, which is important to me. And she is, you know, emotionally intelligent, all of that. Then you actually start to see, now when you think something is funny, even if I don't, I still think it's like adorable. Like it doesn't bother me that I don't think it's funny. You know, I accept it.
You accept my love for puns.
Yeah, I'm not a big word play on words. I think I did say something with words that really made you laugh, I think one time, and I thought it was really dumb.
Yeah, I love dumb word, yeah. Like wordplay, pun, yeah. Humor.
I love humor where it's situational and unexpected, right? I don't like jokes. Like if someone says, John, I have a joke for you, 100% I'm not going to laugh. But but if someone does something where they're trying,
somebody falls and hurts themselves, are you going to laugh at that?
Yes. Yeah. Especially if they do it in a way where it's unexpected. And then I would probably laugh at it at the time where it's least. Like when someone runs into a, if they're trying to go out into their patio, but they have a glass door, but it's, yeah. they think it's open, but it's not. To me, that's funny.
I've done that.
Right. So anyway, the 3-year itch. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something for me to look at, you know, it's something for me to discover, you know, it's something for me to, kind of examine and sit with. And I know, you know, there's always something deeper happening, right? It's not just about, the surface stuff. It's about, what's happening on a deeper level that is, kind of that lives in the subconscious that is making me, either pull away or question or react or, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you've made comments before about how maybe you left the other relationships too early. Like you don't know, but you've thought about maybe I didn't, you know, I don't know if it's try hard enough or whatever, but yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, our situation's different. We have a house and we have a kid.
Right.
But I will be curious to see as we transition into this next year, what comes up for you. And I hope that you share it with me.
Well, I hope that as you are in this, you're not waiting from the bleachers watching me, but you are engaged and in it. Because there's also a part of you that may be like, oh, it's 3 years. He's going to turn into a pumpkin. And I should now pull away or step back.
Mm.
Right?
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
It's fair to look at. But this of course it's different for so many reasons. Like you said, I mean, having a child, building a house, you know, having a house, well, we didn't build a house, but having a house, building, a life that I'm assuming for you does feel safe because we keep investing in.
Safer. Yes.
Safer. Yeah. And yes, there was, I wouldn't say everyone, but 1 3-year relationship, the most recent, 100% I could have done more, meaning I bounced. I also feel like, I left and because she didn't stop me. And I thought that was, looking back, that's an excuse. I made that the reason, right? Because she didn't say, don't go, or she didn't hold on to my leg. I thought, it's mutual. It's over. And then she also thought that I was going and I'm going to come back. So there was a lot of miscommunication. And then I could have done more. We didn't do couples therapy. There are all things that I tell my clients that they should do before leaving a relationship that I did not, you know, so that was learning. And it's, something that, is now information and you learn from it and move on.
Well, maybe this is interesting timing to start recording this stuff as we go into that third year.
It is one of the thing, and let's end with this. What scares you about this if we continue? Because I'll be honest with you, I may only do one episode and be like, I don't know if it's good for us. Hmm. Or I may be like, yeah, let's do 2000. What scares you about this? Yeah.
What scares me? I don't know. I don't know if anything scares me right now. I think that I am somebody who goes one step at a time and takes it, you know, one foot in front of the other. I don't look down the field like you do. So well, I think
you're also, but you're more private than I am. Does it scare you that we're talking about our relationship on the internet?
No, I don't think so. I think for me, I'm very good at, I will keep private what I want to keep private. I will give the information that I know I can comfortably give, and I will not give the information that I don't want to give. I'm very whether it's considered good and boundaried in that way or closed off, I don't know, but I'm pretty good at keeping that boundary. So I don't worry about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. So for me, I've been blogging for over a decade and I've been an open book. I've been talking about my feelings and all of that. I think what scares me about this is for some reason, this makes me very vulnerable. This scares me. And I'm trying to figure out why. It's not because I'm being open, because I've been open for so long, or public, as you would say. Maybe because I'm doing it with you and we're talking about, like, maybe I can't hide behind my words here.
I have a theory. I know that you are very much the kind of person where once it's out there, there's accountability behind it.
Well, maybe because I'm a therapist. Yeah. I mean, maybe I have a fear of being a hypocrite. Maybe people perceive me a certain way as far as the way that I write and talk about love. And then we pull the curtain back here and they realize, oh my God, he's a fraud.
Well, maybe I put something out there and sure, we could push stop and not actually release the episode, but that's not how you function. If it's out there, you're going to put it out there and you're going to hold yourself accountable. So maybe I bring something up in one of these conversations that puts you on the spot and you can't get away from it. You have to face it.
Yeah. It's like once the cat's out of the bag, you know.
Oh, now my brain is turning.
Yeah. And what a great place to end. What a because it's naturally become a cliffhanger
to be continued.
Yeah. For all three people who are listening. So guys, this is our new podcast. And I got to say though, you know, what I do enjoy about this is I don't know about you guys and your partnerships. I love creating with whoever I choose. I'm loving. So with Vanessa, not only, you know, remodeling a house, raising a baby, but creating something with her in the creative space, right? So Vanessa and I, although we talk about things, we don't really have that. And so one of the gifts here for me is that this could be something that she and I do that's creative. And so that makes me closer to you.
I agree. Yeah. I think right now we have a lot of things where, like, you're working on a project that's mine and I'm working on a project that's yours, but we don't actually, other than the house and the baby, which I think are big things, we don't actually have something that is ours.
Yeah. And so this is another layer. This is another part of a relationship. And so this is why this is important to me. Unless it gets to a point where it's damaging, and then we'll stop and everyone else will call us cowards, but then we'll have to deal with that.
I'm okay with that.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We are two therapists who have a baby, just moved into a house in the hills, and creating a dialogue about all our trials and tribulations, would you say?
Yeah. Our growth.
And hopefully you can relate. And also kind of shattering the veneer that therapists are or have perfect relationships.
Yeah, or that we somehow know it all.
Yeah.
Because we don't.
Yeah, because Vanessa doesn't. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, be well.
So John had this idea of recording a revelations piece at the end of each of these episodes after kind of listening back and hearing what was talked about. You know, we're not together, so it feels a little bit like, I don't know, more raw or real or something, because the idea would be we wouldn't actually listen to each other's revelations until the episode was released. I'll tell you, my revelation was that I had a lot of anxiety when I was listening back to the episode. Most of my anxiety came around John's avoidance of the question in combination with, I don't think it was fake. I think I was laughing a lot, maybe laughing it off in the moment
because we were recording this first episode and maybe I was trying to keep it light, or maybe I was actually taking it as light. I don't know. But when I hear it back now, my kind of laughing feels, it feels almost like I'm avoiding it too. Like I was avoiding getting him to answer the question, which I know I tried a few times. We did go into it a little bit about what he thought his theory was around his 3 week or 3 year stuff. But yeah, my revelation is anxiety. My revelation is his answer did not make me feel secure or safe in the relationship, and that I need to bring that up to him. So that will be a conversation that we will be having, whether recorded or not.
I don't know what Vanessa, oh my God, sorry. I did not just see a ghost. I choke on myself often. Okay. I don't know what Vanessa does in her practice, but I always encourage my clients to share their revelations. That's how you learn and grow and evolve. So here are mine. The 3 year itch. I think that, you know, and it's something that I have not talked about. I don't even think I've never talked to a therapist about it either. So yes, there was a lot of avoiding. And I think really, if I have to be honest with myself, I think I have issues with the grass is greener, you know. I think I also have insecurities where I define myself with women. And maybe even deeper than that, I think I have I have some kind of commitment issue. I'm not sure. But then again, 3 years is a commitment, right? It's not something that I'm sure of. But that would make sense to me. Well, most people with commitment issues, it doesn't go 3 years. But here's the thing. If there's a pattern, you know, you can't deny that. And so generally speaking, I would say 3 years has been my pattern. Although I was married at one time and that lasted for 5. And that wasn't me that wanted out. But I was also young and that was very sticky. So I don't know if that was a good example of my pattern. Or here's the other thing, maybe because of the marriage and the imprint and the impact, because that was definitely that was my biggest fall, I guess you would say. Maybe there's something happening inside me where I'm afraid to get hurt again, you know? Anyway, thank you for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.